Spiritual Life Center, transforming lives as we love, serve, and remember who we are.
One heart,
one heart,
one mind,
one mind, one soul at a time.
We greet you in the name of all that is good, all that is sacred, and in the warm and loving energy of this community, Spiritual Life Center. If you're joining us for the first time, we especially want to welcome you because we know that you are not here by accident. You're here by divine appointment. Thank you for joining us on your unique path today, and we hope you enjoy this special message from this past Sunday's service.
There's a quote that I like to refer to from time to time. And it says that we are not here to fit into society. We're here to stretch the society in which we live and make it better through the deliverance of our good. You know, individuals throughout history, folks that we know maybe are unknown, have taken this idea that we are not merely here to fit into society, but to reshape it and to take it to another level. Many have literally shocked their communities, their nations, and even the world by doing that. In many respects, we are here to do the same, particularly in our world today, to disengage from business as usual so that we affect the collective consciousness of our day, of our time, of our nation, of our planet. To actually shock the nation as Mother Teresa shocked the nation in which she lived with so much love and compassion for individuals she fed on a regular basis because she saw the beloved Jesus on their faces. To shock the nation as did His Holiness the Dalai Lama, who continues to do so and maintains a consciousness of love and compassion despite the atrocities imposed upon his beloved Tibet by the Chinese government. Perhaps we're here to shock the nation as a little known man named Clarence Chance, who was incarcerated for 17 years for a crime he did not do. But during that time of being in jail, had so worked on himself that any semblance of unforgiveness, any semblance of resentment that was not in his soul began to be removed, so that he could continue to be an instrument of wisdom and joy and harmony. And what he did, he just shocked a lot of people with his countenance. And he was a regular person just like you and me. I believe as anyone moves into that kind of space, they become an agent of transformation and not an agent of merely adjusting to their circumstances that they're facing. So as the topic suggests for today, don't just adjust, transform. It simply means that we're not here to use the teachings to merely adjust to the circumstances in life. That you and I are here to use these teachings to become aware that we are spiritual beings, becoming transformed, becoming more ourselves, and not simply adapting to the circumstance. Ernest Holmes, who was the founder of religious science, had a powerful statement. He had this to say about these teachings, that it's not about giving us the strength to withstand the blows of life. We can interpret that to mean we're not here to cope with whatever situations we're going through, or just feel that life is against us, or that our spiritual path or religion is just supposed to make us strong enough to withstand the challenges in life. Because understand religion, what that means, that we're here to bind back to the source, to bind back to the force, the presence. And it's to give us the strength to transform our lives that we may be those agents of change on the planet at this time. I remember a man came to see me many years ago. And this person had a lot of experience in life. And at this time, he was in dire straits. He had just been released from a period of incarceration for burning down a house. It was his own house. His ex-wife was in it. Fortunately, she got out alive and nobody was hurt. But apparently, he was highly upset about a breakup that had taken place and the things that he had perceived she had done to him. And in his mind, his only recourse was to burn down the house with her in it. And he had heard about, you know, this teaching, this New Thought Ancient Wisdom teachings, and about this kind of work, and he made an appointment. And I can remember sitting with this gentleman and recognizing the anger that would move through him and the injustice that he felt victimized by. He was playing the victim in a very big way. And sometimes he would turn so red whenever he recounted what this person had done to him or what he had thought she had done to him. And he turned so red that, you know, you could tell he was like my complexion, so you know how angry he was. It was just an indication on the level of his anger. But at one point, we came to an agreement. We came to a moment of communion and prayer, and he caught who he was spiritually. It was just a fleeting glimpse for him at first, but he felt his connection with the presence. He felt his connection with spirit that was so close. And he was met with his at-one-ment with this presence. And in that moment, something shifted in this man. In that moment, he was different. Now, it took several years before the unfoldment of that realization actually took place in the outer world, because his anger still came and went in his consciousness. His external circumstances were still at times very challenging for him. You know, at times he didn't have enough money or resources. He was still pretty much an outcast from his family. And these things were still going on for a period of time. But I knew, and he knew, that the change had already happened within him. One day he was standing in front of a building and looking kind of disheveled and kind of out of sorts, and some people were talking about him, talking about how weird he appeared and how different he was. But if they only knew how far this individual had traveled to get to where he was, they would not be saying that at all. They would be holding him, I believe, in a whole nother space, a whole nother level of consciousness. And that's okay. You know, I think we all do that at times, but ultimately, he became one of the teachers that was given a National Teacher of the Year Award and became a very productive and fruitful person in the community. And as he reclaimed a wonderful relationship with his daughter, even he and his ex-wife began to speak again, which in my view was a miracle in and of itself. But the thing about what he had, at that moment, he had a moment of clarity, and we would work for him or any of us, to not judge ourselves unrighteously, because the inner sense of at-one-ment that he had attained was not yet reflected in the external world. I think in many respects, he was bringing us a message, and is bringing us a message today, that if we have a clear heart and are decisive and willing to change, and want to be those agents of transformation, we can begin to anchor the ever-expanding good in our life and in our world. But in order for us to get there, we have to stand for something and decide how we are going to live our life. That particular gentleman made a decision to eliminate within himself anything that got him in those problems in the first place. And because of that decision, his life changed, his life transformed. Understand, he could not have been an agent of change or transformation if he had viewed his experience just at the surface level, or if he tried to stay the same or try to fit in to the circumstances and simply judge by the appearances. You know, judging by appearances alone is often perilous in how to navigate life. You know, earlier this week, I wrote a blog about the story surrounding Chadwick Boseman. And the young Boseman passed away at 43 years of age. And the story about him was not really about him, but a story within the story. You know, a fellow actor, his name was Clark Peters, and he played along with Chadwick in a movie called The Five Bloods. And this was well after Chadwick had become world-renowned for his role in the Black Panther from the Marvel comic book series. And that actor, Peters, was very excited to work with Chadwick. However, when he was asked by his wife what was Chadwick Boseman like, Clark said, you know, he thought he was a spoiled Hollywood actor. And he based that on what he saw take place while Chadwick was on the set. Because what he saw was a Chinese practitioner massaging his back during the breaks. Another person was rubbing his feet. And throughout the day, his girlfriend simply held his hand. And he thought that the people around him were being overly fawning over Chadwick. And he had somehow let his Black Panther fame go to his head. But what that actor, Peters, didn't know, and very few others did at the time, was that 3 years earlier, Boseman had received a diagnosis for colon cancer. And the people that were around him at the time were looking after him, doing their best to take care of him. And Peter said, throughout the filming of the movie, as well as other projects that Chadwick worked on after his diagnosis, he never complained, was in the moment every minute, and he put on stellar performances every time he went forward. And the actor said he regretted that he had those thoughts based upon false assumptions. And it's a reminder of the perils of making assumptions based on only what we can see or hear. You know, as Jesus said, we're not here to judge by appearances, but to use righteous judgment. And I say all of that in order to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, it requires that we don't make a judgment based only on what we can see from our three-dimensional level of seeing the world. Because behind the picture that we see, there is unfolding good. And when we make a decision to see it differently, to be an agent of transformation in today's contentious environment, we want to see differently or at least reinterpret some of the statements attributed to Jesus the Christ. You know, one of those statements that he made was simply turn the other cheek. With so much going on, people said, what do you mean turn the other cheek? But many have interpreted incorrectly. They've interpreted to believe that once someone has slapped one cheek, that they're supposed to turn the other and get slapped again. But that would be silly. Because every time Jesus talked, he talked in parables. He talked in metaphors. He was talking about transformation in consciousness. So we have to read between the lines. And if we read between the lines, we realize that if one form of energy comes to our direction, then we're here to give back another form of energy, to give something different back. In other words, when we have a clear heart and we have a sense of decisiveness, and we choose who we have come here to be, you name yourself. You decide what you stand for. So when so-called hate or animosity or resentment or forgiveness or gossip or whatever comes in our direction, we become strong enough with our decisiveness that's based on the awareness of who we truly are as expressions of God. And so to turn the other cheek, we give another form of energy to that which is coming toward us. And if we do, you and I will become so strong that that which is eternal and that which is everlasting, it will lift us up. It will resurrect our life. It'll transform our inner life. It'll make us stronger in the spirit. because we will be in league with that which has no beginning and has no end and can never end. You know, individuals throughout time and who have stood up for truth, and as we watch them, we realize their life has become a monument for peace and love and wisdom and harmony. And in our world today, this is what we are here to do. You know, I noted how sometimes many of us have a tendency to use the teachings to make adjustments to negative circumstances that are going around us without going through any kind of transformation. But we want to check ourselves and see if we fall into this category of individuals who use the teaching to make adjustments rather than engage in full-fledged transformation. You know, perhaps you discover yourself in this scenario. You know, sometimes people may be at odds with another person. They don't like them. The person has done something to them, at least they perceive they had done something to them. Or that person has said something about them. And they're hard to work with, we may say, whatever the case may be. And so that person may carry a grudge, a certain degree of resentment and animosity. But for the sake of peace, they decide to stay out of that person's space. They avoid the person for the sake of so-called peace. And they decide to stay out of the person's atmosphere completely, and they don't interact with that individual. And they may say to others, you know, that they are an agent of peace because they're not allowing themselves to engage in any kind of conflict by going in that person's space. But what they have done, they may have used some highfalutin metaphysical philosophy to adjust to a circumstance rather than be transformed by the renewing of their mind. And they have forgotten, they've somehow failed to realize, even if they do not call that individual a name or have a direct conflict with them, what they are harboring in their soul makes a difference. The negative energy, the resentment, the grudge, all of the things that they're constantly thinking about that individual is still there. And not only is it having an effect on their own life in the form of a blockage of the flow of their creativity, but oftentimes their way of being begins to shrink the field in which they get to play in. I'm not talking about so-and-so, they may say, but whatever that person's name comes up in their mind, there's a certain body action that goes along with it. They may say, ah, you know, I really don't want to talk about that. Or they may say, you know, I do not want to gossip. I don't want to talk about the individual. They will use all the letter of the law, so to speak. But as soon as they mention that name, person's name, or someone mentions their name, you know, automatically that person's done something seemingly wrong to them. And what they've done, they've edged out the presence of God. They've shrunk in the field where that person can play in because they're not realizing or they're not being open to the possibility that they may have changed now. They may have been praying for forgiveness. They may have been opening up their souls to simply be different. But to the other person, they may not have let that go in their own soul. And when we don't let it go, we contribute to shrinking the other person's playground. We shrink the presence of God in that relationship. But understand that relationship can be transformed in which you don't just make an adjustment, try to navigate through the circumstance or cope with the circumstance. Rather, through this transformational process, you become renewed. You can become transformed in mind and heart. And when that individual name comes up, there is a secret, silent, sacred prayer for them. And there is an awareness that they are the image and likeness of God. regardless of what they are doing or what has happened. And when you and I do that, we will discover we're now contributing to something else. We're now contributing to a different point of view. We're contributing perhaps to a whole new way of rehabilitating our society just by that simple act. We're becoming a mediation or a meditation posture rather than a defensive posture. We're having a forgiveness posture and energetic. We're having a love posture. Imagine how radical that would be in our world today. And we're contributing to a loving posture on a national consciousness because as individuals, we have stepped up to the plate and we've decided to really practice these principles and really become transformed by the renewing of something within us. But we must be willing and understand in our willingness, we will unleash a power and a presence that will resurrect our life. It will free us from false perceptions that will allow us to see the good that God sees in all of us, the spiritual image and likeness of this pure presence. We will no longer demonize others. Because oftentimes we may wonder why countries demonize other countries that they don't get along with, because they are simply amplifying the vibration of the individual and collective consciousness. When each person stops giving out that energy to the people in their life, we'll see a whole new potential evolve in our world. Because we will equip our communities, we'll equip our governments with a whole new way of being. You know, as I close out for today, I always like to leave something practical that you can do. And so I want to leave you with something that will help you lay the foundation and tease this transformational process into place. You want to give yourself an assignment. You want to give yourself an assignment on a daily basis or even a weekly basis. And the assignment has something to do with the non-dual spiritual reality, the oneness that is always there. And it is this. Every morning, simply proclaim, today my assignment is unconditional love. Or my assignment is peace. My assignment is generosity. My assignment is compassion. Now this is a good thing because it will give the ego something to keep it busy until the Holy Spirit, the whole Spirit of God within you does the work. Two things will begin to happen. You know by now that that which is unlike that particular assignment will begin to be made visible. And it'll begin to come up. And you'll have to deal with it in ways you may not have dealt with it before in order for you to come in harmony with the presence and the power and the love of God. You'll begin to think what you need to be in order to anchor more of the possibilities of the human spirit. You know, you might have been going along in life and say, I've been kind of all right. I was always happy, but I wasn't sad either. We don't want that. We want to be agents of transformation because there's so much more that we're here to be. So you make an assignment. And those things that are not in harmony with that particular assignment, yes, they will begin to come up, to be requalified, to be transmuted, and ultimately help you transcend so that the miracles, and when I talk about miracle, I'm talking about the individualized expression of the most high presence of God or a single ray of divinity that has never happened before and will never happen again, it will begin to take you over. So you take on that assignment so that miracle itself expresses itself through you. And as that happens, the entire world changes because we are interconnected on that spiritual level. You know, just as the entire world changes, as a rose comes into bloom, its potentiality is actualized. And I have to tell you, it's not always comfortable to go through this transformation, because the emotional and mental body that we have identified with, you know, we won't be at peace. We may be confused. You may come to me and say, "Hey, Rev, you know, I started studying these principles. I started doing my daily assignments. Oh, my whole life began to fall apart." But hey, I have to remind you, before you started doing this stuff, you thought your life was all right. And then you say, you know, I started practicing these ideas. And to tell you the truth, you might say, you know, I just like believing about it and having books in my library and saying that I'm spiritual and I'm metaphysical. But you might say, when I started practicing this stuff, oh, my whole life shifted. And I have to say, but hold up. Didn't you tell me you didn't like your world? Didn't you tell me you felt locked in, victimized, unhappy? Didn't you tell me you wanted to soar on the wings of the whole Spirit of God and be the place of the fulfillment of that presence? I thought that's what you said. And so for that to happen, we can't just try to adjust to circumstances, because that's not why we are here. We are here to allow our life to be so lived, so well, that our life can be an agent of change, an agent of growth, an agent of transformation, and we can do it because we know who we are. So let us shock a nation with our service. Let us shock a nation with our giving. Let us shock a nation with our generosity of heart, our loving, our forgiveness. We don't just adjust, we transform. We go beyond our previous formation of our life, and as we do, we uplift the entire world. So it is, so we let it be. Peace and blessings to you.
We are grateful for the opportunity to share with you today and hope you've taken something from this Sunday's message. If you'd like to hear more from Spiritual Life Center, be sure to click subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening from. You can find out more about our community on our website at www.slcworld.org. We look forward to being a part of your continued spiritual journey. Wherever you are, God is, and all is well.
Spiritual Life Center. Transforming lives as we love, serve, and remember who we are.
One heart.
One heart.
One mind.
One soul at a time.